Okay, here we are. Now, there is so much going on. This is all ultimately medical. This is about killing people. This is bioweapon death. And again, as we have been saying for 3 years now, we're in our third year, this weapon, this countermeasure, as they officially call it, is owned by the DOD and the Pentagon, built under contract to Pfizer and Moderna, etc. This thing has so many ways of expressing its gross antithetical nature toward life and living. It's astounding. This can kill you. This thing can kill you. I don't know how many different ways. And we keep finding out more. More of these things are cross-related in a very negative and ultimately terminal fashion. Many of these symptoms, the symptomology. Wow. News going up right now. Lots of material tonight. We're going to spend a little more time on the geopolitical aspect of this attack on humankind, because that's what it is. And there was, we're going to play a video here. There was a meeting, 1994, the year I started this program, in which I remember this meeting, I think it was Brazil, and they were lamenting how back then the elite felt that the population of this planet was out of control. I honestly didn't see it then. I don't see it now. I see societies and international geopolitical power bases and matrices that are not interested in making the whole system work better at all. They're interested in their own gain, and they want to reduce the population. There are other issues here. Why? Who's going to take over once we're diminished? Well, a lot of the invaders that are coming into this country are being brought in here to take our places. We know that. They're being brought in here, and if you look at the story about California, Ohio, and Oregon having legislation apparently now pending, it's in process, wherein the homeless, which include all the invaders coming across that border, are legally already right within their domains to pitch a tent, put up whatever kind of living on public lands. Well, this would make it so they could do the same thing on private property, as in your front lawn, your home, your residence. Say you live in a city and there are a lot of homeless there and a lot of invaders there, and they decide they want to camp out on your property. If you try to oppose that, you go to prison. That's what these laws are about. This is worse than the Soviet Union at its height of evil. This is really awful, and it's obvious in its intent. Remember, you'll own nothing and be very happy? That's what this is about. They're going to try to ruin the idea of home ownership. Of course, the rich will always own their own home or whatever. But the middle class, what's left of it, not much, and the lower classes will be pretty much wiped out of the home market. The loans now are just not available. There's no money to loan, so good luck trying to get a loan to buy a house. Not going to happen. But if the homeless happen to think your front yard is pretty nifty and they want to see a little tent city there, they'll do it. And there's not a damn thing you can do to stop it. Nothing. And nobody in these bills that I've seen is talking about human sanitary issues. Where are they going to go to the bathroom? Where are they going to take showers? Where are they going to park their cars? Yes, some of them have cars. Well, they're going to obviously amend these pieces of legislation to include the obligation of the homeowner to provide a bathroom and shower for these people. Remember what they did in Los Angeles County. If you have a house on a 50 by 75 foot piece of property, that's tiny. It's a postage stamp. You are allowed to build in your garage a fully rentable additional unit to your home. And on top of that, you're allowed to build an up to 850, I think it is, square foot separate freestanding structure that you can rent out as well. That's three dwellings to one little tiny piece of property that are now legal in Southern California. I believe it's Los Angeles County. So that's the end of the neighborhood, the happy, healthy, secure neighborhood. It's over. It's done. This is all unfolding according to the plan. Please remember that. I know it's a cliche now. Everything is by the plan. Nothing left to chance. Nothing left to happenstance. And there are very few coincidences. All right. My partner's here, the better-looking half of this duo. And welcome back. Glad to be here. We got a lot of stuff to go through tonight.
Thank you, Jeff. Good to be back.
Do you always have that happy sound in your voice? No, that's true. That's true. We trade notes all day, some days, off and on, and trying to stay on top of this nightmare. It's just unbelievable what's happening. But don't forget this is ultimately structured around the initial attack, which was a geopolitical attack on people. It came out as a vaccination and an alleged pandemic, but this is all geopolitics. These people are out internationally to destroy what we have or what we used to have. All right, now, what's new? What's new? Are you hearing sirens? What's going on with your local paramedic dispatch service? And I just want to stay up with that, too, because a lot of people are listening to their own areas.
I actually didn't have it on the last couple of days. It's been busy, and it's part of the reason I've just got to turn it off now, because it's, I wouldn't say it's constant, but, you know, probably every 20 minutes. And now they're starting to rely on more of the private ambulances to pick up the excess.
Got it. So they're actually contract workers, to so to speak, to take care of the overload. Got it.
Yeah. The trend has been lately that there seems to be more youngish people needing medical aid, people in their 30s and 40s. And then typically it's something like a seizure or symptoms of a stroke, chest pain, abdominal pain, and the ever-present falls.
Yeah.
A lot of falls. Not that they're stumbling. They're either blacking out.
They're going down. I get it.
Yeah. And, you know, as Nurse Ann had said at one point, they don't remember anything prior to going down. You know, they don't. They just black out and go down.
Nurse Ann, by the way, just to bring all of you fans of Nurse Ann up to date, is she's back at work at a big hospital, and she reports that the latest she's seeing now is a deluge of turbo brain cancer. Why are we not surprised? How many times have we talked about this? You start out with spike and microclotting in the brain, and then we have these oncological issues that are enfolded into this potion of death that is being injected into people. And it does now appear, sad to say, there's more and more evidence, we're going to talk about that during this hour, that shedding is essentially vaccinating the unvaxxed. They damn well knew this when they put this program together. This is how they're going to clean up the approximately 20% who refuse to take the death shot. So we have more and more evidence now that shedding is a killer. No joke.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. You know, a lot of the unvaxxed who are either by choice or necessity having to be around the vaxxed are suffering the same effects.
Right. And this is being proven. And if you look, it should be under our names. There are pictures now of blood, live blood analysis, where these people who are not vaxxed, their blood looks like the same plane crash that the blood of the vaxxed looks like. Where did they get that? They got it from the vaxxed. It doesn't take rocket science to figure this out. You work around people who are vaxxed, you're inhaling their exhalations. You're being vaxxed in a very passive, low-level way, but it builds up. You're inhaling spike, mRNA, and probably plasmids too, although we have no proof of that. But if you're getting the plasmids in there, as well, you're in real trouble. I hate to say.
Yeah, we've had countless stories now of situations where, you know, it's a work situation where people are working in an office with vaxxed, and I specifically remember that woman who developed a lung clot, had to be operated on, and her blood is thick as mud.
Had to be
on blood thinners.
That's right. Yeah. And it's difficult.
Not to mention, I was just going to say, not to mention the countless women, unvaxxed women, who have had miscarriages or these nonstop bleeding issues.
Massive hemorrhaging.
Hemorrhaging.
What do the doctors prescribe? Well, you need a hysterectomy. That's what they seem to jump to. It doesn't take long. And these are kids.
Well, they try them out on a hormonal thing, you know, regimen first, a synthetic progestin or something. And when that doesn't work, they might try something like tranexamic acid, which is, you know, will prevent clots from breaking down. So, it's a little bit of a paradox. Some people are clotting, other people are bleeding out, and some people are actually doing both. So then you've got a real problem on your hands.
I really don't take any joy, any consolation in saying this, but virtually everything we have forecast, and we're not psychics, is coming to pass. People are getting sicker all the time. Once you start down that slope, there's no turning back. It doesn't seem to be reversible. I've not heard of one case where someone who has taken the shot, or now, I must include, been given, conferred the same profile as if they had gotten the shot by being around the shedding. So they're not getting better. Unless they somehow can disassociate themselves from the shedding, people around them, isolate, self-isolate. I spend as little time as possible around the general public. I just don't go out. And I'm not paranoid. I'm just, I think, pragmatic. Same with Erica. We don't go out.
The best strategy at this point, even though it's probably not realistic or practical for many people, is avoid exposure to these people. They are toxic.
Whether
you have symptoms or not, that's the stealthy part of this. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be aware that the damage is occurring, that the people that are getting symptoms in some respect are the lucky ones, because they know they have an early warning system that they're being exposed to something very, very toxic. And there could be a genetic reason for why some people react this way. It's similar to people who have sensitivity to mycotoxins in the environment.
Mm-hmm.
They can't be around certain types of toxins, or they will get very, very sick. Their bodies can't handle it. But that doesn't mean that for somebody who's not getting those kinds of symptoms that they're not being adversely affected. A poison is a poison is a poison.
I'm going to write that down. That's good. I like that.
I think there is some complacency or in that the people unvaxxed that believe they're not being affected by shedding have a false sense of security.
Well, they're like the guy with the thermography. Thermography, I guess, is what they use, some kind of infrared, whatever. They were picking up heat, and they took a shot of his legs. He's vaxxed. He says, I feel fine. I'm fine. Oh, no, he's not. You'll see the picture up. It's on the homepage and the slideshow, and it's a news story as well. So there you go. He's in trouble. And that's not just the legs. Don't think when you see the clots in the legs, it's everywhere. There's no reason to stay focused on the legs. Wherever the spike goes, that's what it's doing. It's microclotting, and then it builds to a larger clot, and you got to back up. So, Okay, I wondered why when we talk often and I haven't heard the paramedics, so you just, it's too much. You got to take a break from that. So good. I thought they were on some kind of a slow schedule lately for some reason. There wasn't much activity, but yeah, you got to turn that off. It's too much.
Yeah, it's disruptive if you're trying to work.
All right, now you just sent me this thing from this doctor about turbo cancer. Go ahead and read that. Go ahead.
Let's see. I don't have it in front of me. Do you have it?
All right. Yeah, I got it here. It's short. All right, I won't mention, this is apparently a doctor. He's writing, this is a post. Second patient of the day, 46-year-old with stage 4 lung cancer, with METS metastasis to the bone after 4 doses of the COVID vax. These turbo cancers definitely are becoming a trend. This thing is going to well up like a tsunami in the next year, I'm telling you. And they're diagnosing these people with stage 4. No inkling. Stage 1, stage 2, 3. They didn't have a clue.
That's incredible when you think about it. But, I mean, this has been happening. This has been happening now for, what, almost 2 years?
Right. Right.
So, you know, these people that, I mean, I constantly hear this now, and I know there's a tendency to think that these people who have gotten 3, 4, 5, sometimes 6 shots now,
right,
all appear to be fine. Don't be fooled. A lot can be going on beneath the surface.
It's such a stealth, an evil stealth profile that these people present with. They don't have a clue, and yet they've got stage 4 cancer.
Yes.
What the hell is that? Come on. It's,
I mean, that's not typical, but it's becoming typical with this intervention.
Yeah. I just got the okay to read that. And thanks to the person who sent that. Her name is Mary. Thank you, Mary. I'm going to read what she wrote to me the other day. I stopped by to see my dearly loved, irreverent, awake, trusted, brilliant friend who has been vague and non-communicative as of late. Well, he fessed up. He has myocarditis and more. He has refused surgical intervention and is ready to check out. His heart is running at 20% of maximum. No, he did not take the weapon. Are you kidding? This is a man's man with an archangel fury in him. But he's been living in a situation where nearly everyone around him has taken the injection. He has to be moved by others daily, which has meant literally being hoisted and embraced by the infected ones. Hell is not futuristic. Hell is now. And she sent a note. Let me scan this real quickly. Okay, she says in a P.S., about 2 years ago, he had a visit from a close friend who had just gotten the booster, and that friend brought along an Israeli who had just flown in, who was very boosted. They met at a coffee shop, and within maybe 3 hours afterwards, he became ill. He was taken to the hospital a couple of days later and refused any shots. He has some serious physical impairments he already has to contend with, and on that basis, his son negotiated with a doctor who initially was hell-bent to give him the shot. When you go in the hospital, they want to put that thing in you, and I think they're doing it a lot and just putting it into the, they got a shunt line and the IV drip, and they can put anything in there. Instead, he was one of the rare ones who was then given monoclonal antibodies. So I guess they're still using that. So thanks for that update. But this gentleman, I'm going to read this again. It's very moving and compelling. You need to understand that shedding is deadly real. She writes, I stopped by to see, now this guy is not vaxxed. I stopped by to see my dearly loved, irreverent, awake, trusted, brilliant friend who has been vague and non-communicative as of late. Well, he fessed up. He has myocarditis and more. He has refused surgical intervention and is ready to check out. His heart is running at 20% functionality of max. No, he did not get the weapon, etc. He has to be moved physically by others daily, which has meant literally being hoisted and embraced by the infected ones. Hell isn't futuristic. It's now. And amen to that.
Yeah, so sad.
Thank you. Thank you again for sharing that, Mary. Appreciate it. Okay. We've got some videos to play for you. And again, I think it would be doing ultimately a disservice to completely leave out the geopolitical aspect of this horror being perpetrated on humanity. So we're not going to. We're going to bring that more in as it becomes more and more relevant. So let's go. What do you want to do first? The seven-minute video?
Yeah.
All right. This is the... Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it was another prescient piece. That, you know, it's quite dated, yeah. But it foretold everything that we're seeing.
30 years ago, this was made on the same year that we started this program. So let me pull this up, and you can find it in headlines. It says, it was all planned, just as we've been telling you for several years now. Nothing of important substance is left to chance or coincidence. It's all planned. All right? Oh, here. I might have to wade through a commercial here. Let's find out. No, maybe not. Hold on. All right, here we go.
In 1994, the World Population Summit in Cairo, Egypt, had 160 nations participate, where they all agreed that the human population was out of control and must be stopped because the world is running out of resources. An agreement was formed that would mandate the reduction of humans from 6 billion to 800 million by the year 2030. This meant finding a method or methods to wipe out nearly 95% of the population. Solutions were discovered, investigated, tested, then created, and have been in full force since. The procedures have been inflicted onto the human race are as follows. 1. Toxic levels of chemically enhanced fluoride have been secretly added to our drinking water over the last 20 years in every city and community on the planet. I personally oversaw the delivery of fluoride barrels to Denver, Chicago, Tampa, and Minneapolis water departments. The adverse effects of fluoride poisoning to the human body are numerous and debilitating. The effects to children is damage to their neurological development, among other serious ailments. 2. Man-made viruses and diseases. The AIDS virus, which was a design and byproduct of the American Disease Institute, was distributed through vaccines to the public in 1980. Instituted as a preliminary population control tactic, the results were successful and led to more lab-produced viruses that have since been unleashed onto the public. Among those is the development of a mutated version of the common flu to replicate the 1918 influenza pandemic that killed 40 million people. The first strain of this new flu virus will be released to the public in late 2017. So if we see a flu outbreak...
All right. 30 years ago, he said the first strain of this mutated flu virus, this pathogen, this pandemic player, will be released in 2017. He was only off a couple years, and this is 30 years ago. So,
well, was he? Because there's some speculation, some debate as to whether or not this thing has been here for...
Sorry, go ahead again, Erica.
I don't know that he was necessarily off, because there's some speculation that this virus has been here since before they declared the pandemic.
Oh, yes, correct. But I was just staying mainstream MSM for people. But yeah, you're right. There are stories and reports that give us 2017 is not a bad year at all. And he might have been right on the money. But generally speaking, we didn't learn about this until 2020 or thereabout, when all those Chinese, 5 million of them, began leaving China after the lockdown was called.
Well, I think they determined the first release was in August of 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And another one in October, and then, okay.
Yeah. All right, let's go back, and I don't know the name of this gentleman. I've seen him before, but I can't remember his name. Anyhow, here we go.
Will be released to the public in late 2017. So if we see a flu outbreak in the late 2017 or early 2018 that's killing people, we'll know this is true.
All right.
Three. Kelly.
That's 30 years ago. Forgive me underlining it. 30 years ago.
Come to air with neurotoxins, barium chloride, cancer microbes, and viruses by way of chemtrails. Released into the skies daily over all inhabited regions by military aircrafts. The effects of these toxins are severe and over time lethal, causing respiratory ailments, cancer, damage to the immune systems, and sterilization in men.
He's talking about chemtrails 30 years ago.
Chemtrail plan was implemented. Sperm count in men has dropped nearly 50%. If this isn't reversed soon, the human race will face early extinction. Now the grand finale. This is some scary shit. In March 1997, an event known as Phoenix Lights became the most infamous UFO sighting in history. A mile-wide vessel, clearly not man-made, flew slowly and silently over the state of Arizona and was witnessed by 10,000 people, including the governor of Arizona. To date, there has been no reasonable explanation. But for every witness interviewed, the craft was as real as anything they'd ever seen. Their lives were transformed. They now believe that we truly are not alone.
I had the great good fortune to cover that program in great depth, that Phoenix Lights program, or whatever it was, and it was a huge thing. I had on a lady, and I think I had her son on as well. She and two or three of her children went out, this is in dark, in the evening, and laid on their front lawn, looking up, laying down, and watched this gigantic ship slowly go right over their home. And 10,000 other witnesses, at least, as you heard him say. But their description was mind-boggling to hear. These weren't flares.
I bet.
This was an enormous ship. Huge. All right.
However, there is another truth. For I know what they really saw. 1986, while stationed at an underground installation near Boulder, Colorado, I was introduced to Project Skybeam by Lieutenant General Andrew Garris. I was then led down a corridor and into a large hangar where a stealth bomber hovered only 20 feet above me. I stood there confused, and Garris looked over me and smiled and asked if I was certain of what I was seeing. I replied, of course. What else could it be? I was then shocked to find out that this wasn't a real craft. It was a projected hologram. Since the early 1950s, scientists had been developing holographic technology, and over the years improved it to a state that we can only imagine. So I stood there staring at the bomber, which looked so absolutely real and solid that I could reach up and touch it. I contemplated the possibilities. What if this projection was 1,000 feet up in the sky? How would anyone know that that was an illusion? The Phoenix Lights craft, witnessed by 10,000 people, was the first grand-scale skybeam test upon the public. It succeeded beyond expectations.
We discussed that possibility at great length over the time frame of that whole Phoenix Lights remarkable event. And it was tracked. The witnesses were such that to come up with a technology to create a hologram and have it travel as far as it did, making course corrections as it did, and then to come down so low over much of Phoenix seemed to be, it's a bit of a stretch to call it a hologram. If you see something up in the sky, okay, but this thing traveled several hundred miles from north of Phoenix, down over Phoenix, and then down, I think down to the southeast after it passed most of the urbanized area. But everyone who saw it said, no, this was, we talked about this. They said, no, this was a real item. Big, real big. Not the size of a B-1 bomber. This was way bigger than that.
In October 1938, Orson Welles unleashed his War of the Worlds radio broadcast to the American public. It was so realistically portrayed, vast portions of the population went into panic. Terrified citizens scrambled to evacuate their cities in droves. America had been easily tricked by very simple means. To amplify this response, those who are truly in power, not only our country, but all the countries on the planet, and who are the true purveyors of the depopulation process, have formulated the final stage of their sinister plan. In the year 2024, a global event will alter the course of mankind's future. The world will stand witness to a massive alien invasion. Thousands of projected holographic alien warships will blanket the skies, sending people into a global panic. Real military crafts within the holograms will inflict actual damage to the surrounding areas to sell together. And as a result of the ensuing human chaos, a one-world government will immediately form without any resistance from the people. They will be the new world order. Once this happens, we as a people will be doomed to enslavement and accelerated depopulation. With that said, the only hope for human salvation is to acquire and spread the knowledge of these activities and agendas. Resist, retaliate, and conquer this imposing enemy. The time is now, as humanity is rapidly approaching.
Okay, that's the end. It's a 6.5-minute tape. Fascinating. He's predicting the alleged fake ET invasion to occur next year, 7 months away. I don't know that we might not be invaded by actual aliens. Who's to say? And if the results are the same, what does it matter? And it will, as Henry Kissinger said decades ago, drive humanity seeking help and protection into the arms of totalitarian government. It will. The fear motive is not ever going to go away as being one of the most dominant of all human emotions. It can't. It's built, we're hardwired. It's built into our genetics. Fight or flight. And if this is a fake invasion with holographic craft and a few real craft in there to drop bombs or whatever, use lasers and do some damage to give it more credibility, it's all doable. It's probably doable right now. We'll see. We'll see. He's calling for 2024. And as Erica correctly pointed out, the initial projection on when this plandemic really started were early reports, and I believe she's right, 2017. So there you go.
Right on schedule, right?
Seems like it. Okay. Human procreation, obviously in grave trouble. Now, Naomi Wolf did an interview with a nurse midwife who describes how she hasn't seen a normal placenta in a long time. And then it turns out that upon examination, these deranged and damaged placentas are calcified. Where did I read? You just sent me, I think. Didn't you send me right before the program? Where it was covered with brown goo?
Oh, so this was somebody that watched this interview and then commented. Apparently she works with midwives or in some capacity with birthing. This is being reported. I mean, these placentas are not normal. They're causing a lot of problems both for the mother and the baby. What you'll hear in this video is, you know, a bit concerning, because it's not just the vaxxed mothers that are having issues with these placentas. It's any woman that's had COVID and potentially any woman that's being shit on.
Wow. All right, I'm trying to get past the commercial here. Hold on. Okay. So 37, I think you told me 37. What are we planning on here?
Let's see.
I have it in my title. It's 37 something.
37.55.
55. I just found it. Okay, let me get to 55. Okay, 52, 53. Here we go.
So you said that you're seeing these abnormalities, or, you know, what could be, God forbid, the new normal, in women who have had COVID and women who have been vaccinated. Are women who have never had COVID and are not vaccinated normal? Like, what is your control group at this point?
Well, unfortunately, most of our people have had COVID at this point. It's a and, you know, at some point in the last, you know, 3 years. And so, but there are placentas that look better when they have, like their, you know, we do take Medi-Cal clients. So we do have low income clients. And so there's a variety of diets that people have. And so the women that are more into whole foods and really, and have their own gardens and eating more whole foods, and sometimes with that, some of those supplements that are whole food based, that their placentas are thicker and more lush and less COVID bumps. But we got to the point where it's just like, you know, did we just not see these before? But then once in a while we'll get one that is, you know, has minimal bumps.
Right, but you never see no bumps anymore?
I haven't seen no bumps in a while, yeah.
And this all began after 2020?
Yep.
And you've been delivering babies since 1976, so you definitely would know the before and after.
When she talks about bumps, can you explain that a little bit more for our listeners?
I think what she's referring to is they're calcified. Mm-hmm. On both sides, on the side that's going towards the fetus, and then the one that's going towards the mother, and it's not normal. I mean, the blood supply going to and from is compromised.
Mm-hmm. All right, and the little bit that I read about brown goo. Did you send that to me? You must have.
Yeah.
Is there any more in there that we want to mention?
Well, you can keep going a little bit. She talks about the condition of the babies that are being born.
Okay. All right. Very good. Here we go.
Right. And so let me just tease this out a little bit, because this is the first time I'm hearing that COVID could be causing these placental problems instead of the mRNA vaccination. Are you sure that that you've seen women who are not vaccinated but who have had COVID and they're having these problems? Like, have you ruled out the possibility that all of these problems are caused by the mRNA injection?
Let me get this out of here. So what I'm seeing is that I'm seeing the COVID bumps and these problems in women that have had COVID, especially during their pregnancy, as well as if they've had the vaccination or if they
right. COVID. I'm sorry, jumping in. Sorry to interrupt. Trying to make sure you've seen these problems in unvaccinated women who have had COVID.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. That's terrible news.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's all terrible news. My goodness.
And the COVID disease, I mean, I think, it's my opinion, that it was a man-made situation.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. So, and both of them, you know, having COVID or the vaccine, you know, it creates the spike proteins in their bodies and does, you know, similar things. And people that had vaccines are getting COVID.
Yeah. So are women in your practice having worse outcomes if they have both had COVID and been vaccinated with the mRNA vaccine?
I'd have to look at that more. And I'm trying to think, especially with the ones that are, have had more, more bleeding or more, more of the COVID bumps, or like that, 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 3-pound baby mama. I can't remember. I'd have to look to see if she had COVID and the vaccination.
Well, thank you. It would be so helpful for our purposes if you could do a spreadsheet and look at who had COVID and vaccination, who had just a vaccination. Because everything you're saying is so important, but I can't tell from what you're saying whether this is caused by COVID and not affected by the vaccine, or whether the vaccine adds a layer of danger or complexity to the childbirth process from your perspective. So breaking those categories down would be amazing. If you have time to do that, it would be a great public service.
Yeah.
So let's go on to the babies. How are the babies doing from these compromised placentas? We heard that the one tiny miracle baby is doing fine, but another fetal maternal medicine specialist to whom we've spoken, who's also reported these calcifications, Dr. James Thorpe, is seeing genetic malformations, chromosomal abnormalities. Are you seeing anything unusual in the babies of compromised placentas?
So what we're seeing, because we have, you know, low risk, and you have to be low risk to have the babies in our birth center.
Right.
But what we are seeing, especially in the last few months, that, you know, that the babies, we've had more babies that had to transfer to the hospital for respiratory issues. Even when they're born, they're fine, they have good Apgars, but then they'll develop some respiratory issues, like retractions or grunting. And I think, again, in my mind, is how, you know, the little lungs, it has microcirculation. They have fluid in their lungs from being in the womb. And so when they're taking their first breath, that fluid gets pushed out of their lungs, you know, through their little lung microcirculation. And so these babies are not transitioning as well as and as normal as they used to. And so we've had, and with out of hospital birth, at least 6 babies in the last couple months that have ended up in the hospital and in the NICU for a few days, you know. And so what they do is they especially, they, you know, do have an x-ray on the baby, and they often get, you know, IV antibiotics and different things, and they're in the hospital for, you know, depending on the situation, for a couple of days or a couple of weeks.
That's very scary.
Okay. not looking good. So for those who have successfully birthed a child, there's no way to really sit back if you're informed and feel confident about what's going to happen in the future. That's a very unpleasant situation to be in. Vaxxed or unvaxxed, it doesn't seem to make a whole lot of difference. Now, this thing you sent me, person writes, can I read this?
Yeah.
Person writes, I saw that interview. I assume they're talking about the Naomi Wolf piece that we're looking
at. Yes, yeah.
I'm on a reproductive health after COVID group, and they are saying D-O-U-L-A-S, doulas and midwives are seeing placentas in Idaho all covered with brown goo. In Tennessee, they all have strange vasculature and thick and thin places and odd-shaped cords would be so interesting to find out how they would describe what they are seeing in each state and in other countries as well. It would seem they have injected different areas with different things. That's just pure speculation. Who knows?
Well,
there could be a lot of factors.
I remember an interview with Dr. James Thorpe, who said that he could tell from the placentas which vaccine these women had had.
Mm.
So there's something characteristic about each of them.
Right. Right. Well, very good. All right. We only have 4 or 5 minutes left. I've got a note here. I haven't read it yet. Let's see what it says. Hi, Jeff and Erica. Just had a question on shedding in general. While I believe spike proteins can be shed from the vaxxed to the unvaxxed, I am less inclined to believe that any mRNA material could be shed. Wouldn't any MMA coming from the vax be completely destroyed? mRNA, it's mRNA. I can't read this typing. It looks like an M. Wouldn't any mRNA coming from the vax be completely destroyed once exposed to the atmosphere? I ask because I remember that they had to freeze the vials of vaccines in special freezers in very cold temperatures before injection so the mRNA inside the vials would be intact. Well, that actually was true, but that was dropped very early on. And they said room
temperature. Well, they made some modifications.
They made some modifications
to the mRNA to make it more thermostable.
Yep.
So it wouldn't need the deep freeze. But no, we have evidence from those papers that appeared on the preprint server and then since vanished, referencing something called URA-3665, which is hidden in the vaccines and is accumulating to toxic levels in the unvaxxed, and it specifically said unvaxxed. And, you know, you wouldn't be getting the mRNA that's going into a person from the injection. What happens is the body takes that and is either copying it or amplifying it, particularly if they are using some kind of self-amplifying or replicating mRNA. So the person's body, once it receives the instructions to make the spike protein and or make more of the mRNA, that can come out in exosomes, and it appears that that is infectious.
We do think that, okay, they had an ability, they have an ability to make the mRNA replicate.
And yes.
The question is, if you want to be academic, did they include that in the shots? And the answer is, and it's not being negative or pessimistic, why wouldn't they include it? Why wouldn't they want the mRNA to be transmissible along with the spike in shedding? They knew about shedding, so I think.
Well, Pfizer had at least one group. I don't know how many people were in this group in the clinical trials that received self-amplifying mRNA.
Yep.
So they, yep. You know, it's doable. I don't know why they didn't go with it. Or they said they didn't go with it. Let's put it that way.
Well,
but, you know, remember, again, we're still technically in a phase three trial with these things, so they can change it at will.
Crazy. Another story that you'll want to take a look at should be up under our names. COVID vaccines are causing severe neurological complications, including Bell's palsy and strokes. You bet. So they're now beginning to talk a little bit more about the neurology angle of these horrible weapons. And remember, they're weapons. These have nothing to do with human health or making it better. They're not vaccines by any stretch. Anybody calling them vaccines over and over again is unwittingly or wittingly playing on the same team as the enemy of humanity. And they've got to stop. These are bioweapons. They're weapons. Okay. Anything you want to add here? We're just about out of time already. Boy, that hour went fast.
Oh, I can't think of anything.
There's Sherry Tenpenny wrote a 2-part series on the risks of eating insects and why you shouldn't. We've got that posted up as well on the site in the news. You'll find it. Look for Tenpenny, part one and part two. There's a summary article in the expose, I think it is, which talks about her writing on that. No, don't eat bugs. I think there are more things wrong with eating bugs than even maybe Miss Tenpenny has assayed, but it's not something you want to do. Don't.
Yeah, and it's being hidden. It's under various names, euphemistic names that you wouldn't necessarily realize it's from an insect.
Label games. More label games.
Yep.
So, okay, there's a lot for you to think about and try to process. And I know some of you are trying to help your loved ones, friends, associates kind of get up to speed, and they don't want to hear it, and it's frustrating. So all I can say, and I don't want to speak for my partner, but don't waste your time. When you hear the door shut, just stop. It's not going to do any good. Don't.
No, this is one of these things that people just have to learn the lesson on their own. They can't hear you.
No, they cannot. All right, very good. That's a seven-course meal for you tonight in terms of information. But we'll be back on Wednesday and bring you another edition. So thank you. Wonderful work.
Okay, Jeff. Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Okay, gang, we'll be right back with more right after this.